Wiley Publishing, in association with Imagine That Studios and Binary Studios, presents.
Do a podcast?
Do you want to do a podcast, Serena?
Okay.
Okay.
Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. Going above and beyond, Podcasting for Dummies, with your hosts, T. Morris and Chuck Tomasi. How you doing, everybody? It is once again Podcasting for Dummies, the fourth edition, book release day. Woo! And we're pretty stoked about that. I am your host, T. Morris, and joining me on this...
I'm Chuck Tomasi.
And we are back once again with a brand new edition. Remember, vote, then go support your local bookstore and pick up a copy of Podcasting for Dummies, fourth edition. Or... go to the store first, pick up a copy of Podcasting for Dummies 4th Edition, have somebody take a picture of you reading the book while you're in line for voting. That would be dope. That would be absolutely and utterly dope.
We will amplify that post a lot.
Yes, we will. Yeah, and if we get enough entries, we'll figure out doing some type of wacky drawing. I don't know what, but we'll think of something. Anyway, Chuck, we are here to talk a little bit about what's new in the 4th Edition, because really... That's everybody's big question. That's everybody's big question. Wait, I just bought Podcasting for Dummies, and now a new edition's coming out? And the answer is yes. So question first is, okay, how much has changed between 2017 and 2020? COVID set aside.
I like to think of this like an amusement park. No one would ever come back if there weren't new rides periodically.
Amen.
Every year there's got to be that new hot roller coaster. Well, we've put our hot roller coasters into this book as well as painted up the old ones too.
Exactly. I mean, to be fair, so, you know, there was a huge gap between the second. This is the way I like to tell people. The first edition was brand spanking new, yep. Broke ground. Second edition was more like, you know, there's some new stuff that's come out. Let's go on ahead and let's feature that. So
there was a huge technology change between 2005 and 2008 as well. I mean, so much stuff. When I look at that first edition, going, remember the iRiver?
Yeah. And then Zoom showed up. Yeah, but I still have my iRiver, believe it or not. I have no idea if it works, but I still...
Yeah, I was going to say, do you use it?
I'm sure it works. The problem is the software that bridged the iRiver with my Mac, that doesn't work. I know that for a fact. But yeah, I still have my iRiver just strictly as a prop now. It's what I call we called that back in the day, everyone, the podcaster's necktie. You could always find the podcasters at Dragon Con because they would have the iRivers around their neck. And yes, I was one of those podcasters that after imbibing a little too much at Dragon Con the next morning, I look down and I go, why do I have a 5-hour audio file on here? And then I go back and I listen. And sure enough, I'd forgotten to turn off record. And I picked up where I go into the men's room. I'm like, oh, my God. I think I'll edit this part out.
That's not as bad. I mean, I'll put that as in a second place. The first place is when you have the Zoom H2 and you forget to hit the record button for the second time. Because the first tap is standby mode. And you've recorded that 45-minute interview with the personality or celebrity you wanted. And you've been waiting your whole life. And then you go, it still says zero and it's blinking at me. Can we do that again? Don't do that. We'll get into the checklist in a future chapter because still included. I fall victim to things as simple as, did you check how much space is on the SD card before you started recording?
so the jump between book one and book two, it was significant because like iRiver in the first book, iRiver was the big book, was the big toy that we all had. And then Zoom came along and they changed everything with the H4 and the H2. Then when people say, okay, so you had the first and second edition, then there was the third edition. The third edition was not an update. That was a rewrite.
Pretty much.
That was a full on rewrite. It was the bones are good.
Yep.
But we're gutting this house. And that was edition three. Now we get to Edition 4. Now, Edition 4 does feel like, it feels like a bit of a nip tuck. You know what I mean?
It didn't feel that way when we were writing it.
No, we didn't. No, especially when it came to, checking the images and making sure that we had permission to use them. I really think we talked more about workflows and we talked more about, actually, I remember one of the first things we removed from the book, and I remember just having absolute joy in removing it. And it was saying that phrase of, you do not need an iPod to listen to a podcast.
There were a number of things that held on from first and second edition and even into the third that were still there. My wife, God bless her, is sort of our final copy editor after the editor's editors get done reading it. And she will find things. She went back and checked every URL, every name. We had a name error that has been in there since the first edition. So yeah, this was a thorough, you know, let's really scrape the paint and put on a new layer before we just, you know, spray over the old stuff. It was, pardon all the metaphors, but some people are listening to this in audio. They need some visual cues. It really was, like you said, we gutted the house. We kept some of the bones. I mean, I think one of the steady chapters throughout all four editions has been the interview chapter. I mean, interviewing questions and skills and tips and tricks still stay the same.
Well, and but I also remember we updated some of those too. We did kind of we did use that. And the thing is, the interview techniques have been, in my opinion, have been so reliable. I actually used a lot of them in Twitch for Dummies when it came to that. Real quick though, Drafty in chat just said, I heard a podcast where they each were recording locally. One muted the call but forgot to mute the recording. And they let him go to the restroom in the cast. You got to be careful about stuff like that. You really don't.
I'm always reluctant about, you know, where's my laptop? Which way is the camera pointing? You know, just for my work Zoom calls. Like, am I even on camera? I'm going to put a piece of tape over that just anyway.
I remember when Pip was Pip got a bumper from the Flight of the Conchords, Jermaine Clement and Brett McKenzie, and she had the same thing happen. She forgot to hit record, and they did a bumper for her. And she said, I forgot to hit record. Would you mind doing it again? And they just kind of stared at her like, you're so darling. she flashed those baby blues at him, and they were done. But I remember that was even back in 2017. I remember people were saying things like, you know, do I need a pod? I thought I needed an iPod to listen to a podcast. But I think so much had changed, especially it felt like between 2017 and 2020, suddenly people were just, well, first off, one, they stopped making iPod. That's the first thing. And the second thing was that people really started to grasp the impact of podcast.
Well, it used to be, you know, up until, I would say just a little before the third edition in 2017, there's the conversation or the question, what is a podcast, seems to have evaporated. I mean, it is such a piece of our culture now that we don't even go into that so much in the book.
Cite this in the book. It started off as something that the nerds in the basement of the science building were doing, and nobody understood it. Mm-hmm. Then it became a punchline of, if you can't hack it in the broadcast industry, you could go ahead and start a podcast. Yeah,
go ahead, buddy. Good luck with that on your podcast.
Now, Jordan Peele reboots The Twilight Zone. One of his early episodes is Nightmare at 30,000 Feet, where he does a retelling of Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. But in this case, the guy is listening to a podcast. And it's the podcast that's actually driving the protagonist to do all these stupid things. And the best part, when he listens to the podcast, you know, it's the guy they hired was given one direction. You need to sound like Aaron Menke in Lore. Because he had that sort of voice, that Aaron Menke voice. And this is Lore. You know, I mean, it was that. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, we've come a long way. We have come a long way.
It really has permeated the pop culture. I mean,
it really has.
Just about every TV series that I watch has some mention or episode. There was an episode of The Blacklist in season six, whatever it was, where the girl was doing a podcast about a guy who's wrongly accused of murder, and her podcast helped get him
basically was Serial.
Yeah.
It was Serial.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was, they keep up with the times, and we've got that. So it really, you don't have that conversation quite as much as we used to. Occasionally there's still somebody who goes, explain to me, what exactly is a podcast? That's one of the things we changed in this book.
that got a major facelift that was one of the other things that we removed, which was, we drew that line in the sand, as we had said earlier in earlier episodes, we drew that line in the sand of like, all right, this is what is a podcast. You know, this is what a podcast is. And if you're doing anything else and you're calling it a podcast, stop doing that, because it's not a podcast.
Right.
And now we're just like, okay, things have changed. People are consuming media differently. Let's be honest. Podcast has changed and we are changing with it. And I would say that, yeah, defining what a podcast is, we still said for the purposes of this book, this is what you need for a podcast. And we limited our, and the main reason we also limited our podcast to focus just on audio is mainly because, the new, and yeah, that, no, that was a main, that was another thing that changed. There's a new 800-pound gorilla.
Yes.
Originally it was Altitude. Originally it was iTunes. Now it's Spotify.
There ain't no iTunes anymore.
That too. There ain't no iTunes. But Spotify is now the place where people are consuming podcasts. And we addressed that. But the thing that I like about Spotify is they've said, okay, if you want to have your podcast on, great. You just can't have video episodes.
Right.
And okay. And so out of the pool. But I mean, Spotify bringing on, taking on podcasts, that was huge for
now
us.
Now Amazon's got podcasts as well.
Yeah.
They just jumped into
the book's got a hiccup because that wasn't a thing. that's how quickly it changes, chat.
It changed while we were writing. There were a number of things that we had to go back. The other thing we did with the fourth edition is we stepped back and took another look at, this is a dummies book, somebody who's getting started in it. What content in here is way too technical? Because we're both technical people. We can get down into the weeds pretty fast. I think there was a whole section on omnidirectional microphones and unidirectional. It's like, nobody ever asked that. They want to know what's the difference between a condenser microphone and a dynamic microphone. That's a more common question. And because, trust me, we'll talk about microphones in a bit. I got three within, arm's reach in this studio.
Only three?
Well, the other 17 are in the closet behind me.
Yeah.
Got to keep the desk clean for keyboards.
Hey, I had so many microphones. I finally was like, screw it. I'm going to do a raffle.
I'm going to sell them to fund other things.
There you go.
But we first have to get to that episode where you get to hear the different microphones that I'll sell.
Oh yeah. I would also say that, some of the other things that are new in the book, it goes without saying, I thought was actually surprising how many people that we cited in 2017 and they're still podcasting today.
And how many are not?
And how many are? It wasn't as bad as the second and the third edition.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, there were a lot of people that I'm trying to think. Adam Christensen of the Maccast.
Yep,
he's still going.
Still going.
We're still going with our, when we started, I started Happy Hour from the Tower and you started Topic is Trek, they were brand new. Now, we had to completely rewrite that section and go, nope, they're not new anymore. And they're still
right. Yeah. Look for those little things that you just kind of glossed over the first time.
Yeah. Now, one that did surprise me that is still going and he was great. It was great to reconnect with. I need to drop another line again. Mark Gunn is still doing the Irish Celtic podcast.
That's awesome.
The Irish Celtic music podcast. And he's been around, I think, since the second.
05 or 06 is when he started.
And then of course there's the Dog Days of Podcasting. We talked a little bit about that. There have been more people. I want to say that between the four editions, this was the fewest that we had to replace, but it was interesting to see how quickly they petered out after 2017.
And the reason we put those in there is as examples. We're just going to tell you about a topic like, hey, you know, this is what good cover art should look like. We give you examples from people who are podcasting. Now, we do a number of podcasts, but we're not going to splatter the same three things that we do all over the book. That would get a little old.
And to be fair, that was what the first edition or two kind of were. We kind of kept it in our own circles. Mm-hmm. I look at the first edition and I go, man, I stopped citing myself. But then again, it was one of the things we mentioned in an earlier episode. We said between the first and second edition, I remember one of the things we had to change is, we have this number where there are 15,000 podcasts on iTunes. Well, you know, in the second edition, we had to change that to like 30,000. And then we got to the fourth edition. It's like, okay, there are over 1 million podcasts now active.
Well, and we had it categorized too. And I couldn't even find a recent source of what those category numbers were. So we just took the darn thing out. It's like, pfft.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
It's like, there's a whole lot on a whole lot of topics. You don't need the numbers in this book to tell you that it's very popular and pick one. The big shiny that we have in fourth edition is the focus on streaming. Chapter 17 is new. It's credit to T for writing the vast majority of that, but it goes along with Discord for Dummies and Twitch for Dummies, which are notably, because they're also from the Wiley family, we get to mention them without any problems.
But the other thing too about it is while I was streaming, which is something I've been doing a lot of since 2017, I began to realize that the marriage between streaming and podcasting, this really became a platform for me because I love video editing and I love video podcast. Biggest problem with video podcasting is this, and it has always been this, is you want to make sure that when you watch a video podcast, you're getting a video podcast downloaded to your device or streamed to your device. That's a huge chunk. That's a lot of storage, a lot of files.
Yeah.
A lot of files. And for some people, it was really hard to keep up. I remember I remember a very talented filmmaker, Earl Newton, was doing Stranger Things. And this was before Netflix Stranger Things, but it was called Stranger Things, and it was basically Earl Newton's Twilight Zone.
Yep.
And it was really good. It was really, really good. But I also remember it was really tough for him to create that kind of content on a regular basis. It was really tough. And then he'd upload it. It was HD, so it took a really long time to download. And that was something that I think video podcasting just never quite caught on. Then streaming started taking hold, and streaming started to really pick up. And streaming happened between 2 and 3. You know, streaming was when iJustin TV went online in like 2012, if I remember.
And it was somewhere around there. Craig and I have been doing Technorama on YouTube since 2011. We go back and watch some of those, going, boy, what's some of that early material? And then I know we were doing something on Justin TV for a couple of years before that. So, you know, 2008, 9, 10, it was in there somewhere that we got online, and we certainly weren't newcomers to the table, but I think the game changer was really Twitch.
Yes. And the thing about Twitch is that it really came through and created what we were really wanting in 06 and 08. There was an online service that I swear I knew other podcasters could get it to work. I could never get it to work. And when I tried talking to them, they got a little curt with me, and I was like, okay, I think I'm done with this entire pursuit. But the thing that this software promised and never delivered with me and a few other people was the ability of creating a live show. What we're doing right now, where Chuck and I could come on and we could talk about podcasting, and then we'd have chat, and chat would ask us questions about podcasting in real time, and we'd interact with chat. There were people that really wanted that to happen, and yet there were so many different places that offered that ability, whether it was early streaming in 08, or whether it was various vendors that were like, oh, we can give you a live audience while you record. They never came through. Then Twitch found the magic bullet and they made it work. And now I see people recording podcasts in real time.
Yep.
And they're interacting with chat. And I went to Chuck and I said, Chuck, bear with me, but I think this is what we need to do. Let's take out video podcasting. Let's put in a chapter on streaming and how it works into the podcast flow. And since even before I wrote that chapter for the fourth edition, I now stream all of my podcasts. You know, Happy Hour from the Tower. The guys come in, or we get on Discord, and then we do it in real time. And then I remember introducing that to Pip, and Pip's like, I don't know if I want to do this. Within 10 minutes, she was mugging to the camera. She was giving winks to the camera. And I'm like, yeah, she's fine. She's fine. And now she is a regular streamer on my channel. And I think she has a bigger fan base than me. I'm just saying.
Created a monster, UT monster.
I have. It's a Pip monster. But again, streaming is great because the other great thing about it is that you can record the show, and as it often happens, sometimes the recording will get borked. Yep. We have an entire section about that in the book too. But what's great about streaming is that you can basically pull down the stream, rip the audio, and you've got a backup recording all ready to go. So yeah, I really think streaming has completely changed the landscape of podcasting. And I think I'm starting to see more and more podcasters, people like Isolde Trachtenberg. I'm seeing Scott Sigler do it. I'm seeing more and more people start up Twitch channels, mainly because they're like, oh, this is great because now I can podcast with a live audience.
Yeah. It's more interactive. It's more visceral to see somebody. It's like, hey, I only get to see Scott Sigler at cons. Otherwise he's in my ear holes. But this way, you feel like you're having more of a connection with that personality.
Exactly. So I know that was a big change. And then, of course, there's some of the new tech that's out there.
Yep.
I mean, I'm looking at one of the things that Blue Microphone sent me. There, it amazes me how far Blue Microphones have come.
Yeah.
In the past 15 years, I still remember those snowballs, and the pickups were a little dicey. Like you had to scream into it and maybe it would pick up your voice. And then if you didn't have a fast enough processor, the latency was really bad. Now these things are just smooth. They are. The Yeti X is dynamite. That is a gorgeous, gorgeous mic, man. And and I love it. What are some of the tech changes you've seen?
I think my favorite has to be the Rodecaster Pro.
Yeah. An
all-in-one mixer, soundboard, recording device, USB, Bluetooth to your phone. It makes the interview process or having a remote host trivial. It really does. Wow. And you don't have to be an audio engineer to figure it out. They've really got this package nailed. It's been out for a couple of years. I think it came out just after we wrote the last book. They sent us an eval unit. I love it. I'm not using it because I have other equipment in the studio, but it's my backup plan, or it's my portable rig is really what it is. Now, I used to have this Tupperware box full of a Behringer, what was it, an 802 with an H2 recording device, and I called it my studio in a box. I have no use for that box anymore.
We're waxing philosophic, everybody. We're waxing nostalgic right now.
I keep pillaging things out of that box and not putting them back. Like, I need this XLR cable. I need this splitter. I need something else. And that studio in the box is pretty much down to a mixer and a power supply. The Rodecaster is a beautiful unit. I was even talking to, I think it was one of Craig's friends. He says, I'm going to start podcasting just so I can get one of those. Or maybe he said, I'm going to get, I mean, it's like, dude, do you even know what topic you want? No, I'm going to figure that out after I get one of these things. And Craig wanted to get one.
I think we actually said that in the book was why would you want to start a podcast? And I think one of the sections we gave is, you get to play with some of the coolest stuff.
You do. You do. My co-host on Technorama and topic is Trek. Craig said, I want to get one of those. I said, okay, step back. I'm going to put on your reality hat for you. What are you going to do with it? I don't know yet.
I'll figure it out later.
You're going to
Oh, we love you, Craig. We love you, Craig Stepp. We love you, Craig Stepp.
If I were starting over today, that's the unit I would get.
Now, I will say this. One thing that hasn't changed since day one that is consistent from the first edition all the way up to this edition, this mic right here, the MXL990, it is still, in my opinion, the best starter mic anybody can ask for. I got three of them in the other room.
What's with the red LED?
Okay. This is new.
I was going to say, that's not the same one you've been using.
It's still the LED. It's still the MXL990. Okay. It's still a 990, but this is actually part of the, and this again, MXL sent me this. This is the Overcast bundle. And the Overcast bundle includes the MXL990, a mic, MXL Mic Me, which is a USB adapter.
Okay.
Which basically takes this and turns it into a USB mic.
Nice.
And then I get the boom microphone stand, which fastens to the side of the desk. It basically takes this beautiful XLR mic and turns it into a USB mic. This particular edition is the Blaze edition. You can either get it Blaze or Blizzard. Blizzard is blue and it's a white microphone.
Don't you watch the robot shows? You're supposed to get the blue ones, you know, because when the eyes turn red.
This is like a Decepticon right here. I know at night this thing goes.
That is flashy. It's a slick unit and it works well on camera.
It's very nice. It's very nice. And it does work really well on camera. And when I play the video game Phasmophobia, which if you haven't seen it, Phasmophobia is where a ghost hunt goes bad and T screams like a banshee. I play it with longtime podcaster Phil Rossi, and I basically do lights out in the studio. So this thing is just like a suspended red orb of evil.
That's awesome.
The MXL 990 and MXL products still remain in the book, and also Shure. We got to give a shout out to Shure. They have been fantastic people to work with. Shure has been great. Zoom has been great. Yep.
Two SM58s, one in each hand, right at my ready. They are the workhorse.
We still talk about the SM7B, which I still use to this day.
I love the 7B.
I mean, that tech has evolved. Hasn't necessarily changed, but it's evolved. But I would say the biggest thing that has evolved has been recording portably.
Yes.
Portable recorders have still, you know, really stepped up. And like this right here, since we're talking about Shure's, this is the Shure MV51.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks really super retro, but this is actually a USB mic, and it is totally portable, right? And this can actually plug into the Thunderbolt cable. Yeah, the Thunderbolt cable of your iPad. And I've done portable recordings using my iPad and GarageBand and all these different things. And so it's really neat how some of the technology has remained the same, but there's been other places that have not, you know. I would also say something else that has changed in the book is we talk about different platforms to promote on. And I don't remember us covering Instagram, because no one would have ever thought about promoting their podcast on Instagram.
Yes.
But I've seen a lot of people promoting their stuff on Instagram.
Yep.
And that's been a big one. The other one has been Discord. I feel like my streaming is more about is more about is more in touch with Discord, because Discord is, as it was described in Discord for Dummies, it's Facebook for gaming. And that was the broad brush that we painted with. But late, as you get deeper into Discord, you realize this could work for any creative endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
It is basically Facebook, but with more focus. And I really, the more I get into Discord, I'm seeing more podcasters starting to embrace Discord. I've had a few people, like I said, ask me about it. Even Evo Terra, he was like, so does Discord really work? I'm like, oh yeah, baby. And there's a shift now. People are starting to try to find different places to promote and to build their communities. And I think Discord has become a really major player in building communities around your podcast.
And that's a wonderful thing. As we continue to grow and explore, we'll continue to bring those innovations on this podcast and maybe in the next edition of the book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's go for five.
I'm still recovering from four.
but here's the other thing though, chat, and the thing that you as our audience should know is that we're really, really proud of we've been proud of all the previous editions. Oh, look at that. Chuck Tomasi with a follow.
I just realized I wasn't following T.
Moron. Look, it's all here. It's all here, Chuck. If you need a copy, just let me know.
What's that little heart icon?
I'll sign it for you. Thanks for that like and subscribe. Okay, now I just got to get him to subscribe. Then it gets real, chat. But anyway, one step at a time, everybody. One step at a time. So, but going back to what we were talking about with these different books, one thing I'm very proud about with Podcasting for Dummies, particularly this fourth edition, is that it's in its fourth edition. So many books are out there. They get a first edition. They might get a second edition, and very few, particularly the ones that are put out by larger tech presses, do not get a third, let alone a fourth bite at the apple. And having the support of Wiley Publishing, having the support of the For Dummies people, and the way they have been working with it to make it as good of a book as it can be, mm-hmm. I feel very blessed, and I feel very fortunate. We've also had the opportunity to talk with a lot of new podcasters. I would say that's been some of the bigger. Bigger bonuses of working with this Chuck, were there any new podcasters that you discovered during this process? Anything at all?
With the process and even before that, going to podcast meetups back when we could meet up in person.
New podcasters
challenge our assumptions, and I'm all about that. Make us check our facts and learn new things, because that's how we grow.
I mean, for myself, I have seen, I mentioned her earlier, Isolde Trachtenberg. She has absolutely latched onto podcasts. She's been doing it for a while. But ironically, it was the interviews with me. She started to drift into streaming, and now she's starting to stream her podcast. And I'm like, good on you, girl. Good on you. And then there's, this gentleman that I've mentioned, it's his show is called For the Love of Podcast. His name is Billy Samoa Salaby, and I hope I'm pronouncing that last name right. But Billy was when we started talking about podcasting, I could just see his eyes light up, and that's what I'm seeing with the new generation of podcasters. They are all just stoked to get behind the mic, and I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, mm-hmm. you've already got the first bit ready to go. It's a strong thing to keep. You got to keep nourishing that flame. Fan podcasts are still extremely popular. I also know too that there are some podcasts that work on a daily basis. They still work on a daily schedule, and some of them are hard to find. Because I do think there are some people that have been like, wow, this podcasting, it's hard. So what is there anything else in the fourth edition that you can think of that's been a major change?
I think we covered all the major changes. There's going to be some subtleties. We went through it with a fine-tooth comb, and when I say we, I mean my wife. She did get a mention in the book this time.
Oh, yeah.
We made sure she got on the credits page because, putting in some long, serious hours and saying...
Yeah, that she did.
Many a conversation about, does this sentence sound right to you?
Thank you, Miss Tomasi. So Nerd Girl did give a quick shout out that Mighty Networks is a good community. I'm not familiar with Mighty Networks. I don't know if
we'll check it out,
Chuck, or not. But we will definitely have to do a deep dive and look into that. We're really excited about this new book. It is now, at the time of this episode dropping, it is currently out. So by all means, run out and get it. You can always take a photograph of take a selfie of you reading the book while you're standing in line to vote. That would be awesome. That would be absolutely incredible. Think about it. You would not only be working to make your voice heard in democracy, but by the end of that wait, you'll be ready to launch a podcast. Hang on. There we go. That's the way to do it. But we would love to hear from you, chat. We would love to hear from you, our audience, through the podcast, also through the stream. If you want to join us live, best thing to do is to check and see if I'm going to be hosting another recording session, Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast, and that's at twitch.tv/theTMonster. So that's one place you can find us. You can also drop us a voicemail or go through WhatsApp and drop us a voice or text mail from anywhere in the world at 703-791-1701. You can also come back and visit us at podcastingfordummies.com. Drop us a comment in the comment section of the episode that is currently listed, and you can go on ahead and be part of the next show. Drop us a question that you may have about what we talked about, or if there's something we're going to be talking about in the future. Remember, folks, Podcasting for Dummies is protected by a non-commercial, no derivative, share alike United States 3.0 license. You can find out more about the license at creativecommons.org. Thank you, everybody, for listening. On behalf of Chuck, I'm T. Morris. Hot on.